of change right now, a lot of change. Things are happening in the world, but it's also happening in the body of Christ. God is moving people and he's bringing people in and he's getting ready, I believe, to pour his spirit out. And anytime that happens, there's change. And we've been talking over the last couple of weeks about this idea of God being comfortable living inside of you. And what does that look like? Because as God goes to make room, that means some things have to move. Because it can't be God and it has to be God. And so we are in a series called Play Free. Last week we started it. We kicked off our community groups and there are people not here today for various reasons. But we believe that God has called us to play free in life. That whatever it is that's holding you back, God said, I've called you to throw off everything that entangles so you can run free. And we've got to assess what it is that's entangling us. And it could be a thought process. It could be something that we're holding on to that God wants us to let go of. It could be an expectation that we have of God that he's not meeting. And because that he's not meeting that expectation, we have a tendency to want to drift and to turn the other way. But I believe that he's called us to go the distance with him. And that's going to require us going down some roads that are uncomfortable, going down some streets that are dark, that need to be lit up by him. And so maybe you're here today and you're going down one of those streets and you're figuring out, I don't know where God is, but he's asked me to go down the street and I can't find him. Just follow the light. He'll light it up. Because in these times, you're going to need a God who knows how to move in darkness. Because that's where we are right now. And the good thing about the darkness is that God's already been there. He's already defeated it. And so there is no darkness in him. None. And so no matter what you feel oppressive-wise or oppression-wise in the world today, God said, I've already overcome it. There's nothing that God does not see and that God does not already have a plan for. He's already provided a plan for it. We have to get God's heart and mind and what that looks like for us, because no matter what you try to do as far as figuring out what God's plan is, you won't be able to figure it out. You're going to have to trust that God knows better than you do. And if God knows better than you do, you can trust even when you go dark that you'll be able to see because God's with you. And if you're in that place today, take heart, because God has trusted you to go down with him so that he can show you some things. He can show you. I don't care what the world's doing right now. I don't care if you feel like the world's on lockdown, if you feel like the world's going to hell, if you feel like things are happening that you don't quite understand. I know someone who does, and his name is Jesus. And so when he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, he'll direct and make your path straight. He means that. He says, lean not on your own understanding, because what happens when you lean on your own understanding? You fret. Because people are prospering when you don't think they should prosper. And things aren't happening the way you think they should, but you have to understand that there's a God who already has it under control. And if you read the end of the book, we win. And right now, there's a setup taking place so that we can actually begin to walk in. I'm not just about talking about victory. I like winning. I like winning. If Jesus Christ died on the cross and he is seated in heavenly places right now victorious, that means the Bible says I'm also seated in heavenly places. So I'm coming from a position of victory. I'm not working up to it. I'm coming from a position of victory. So he's trying to pull me up to where he is. And so I want to see victory in my life. Any of you have some areas of your life you want to see victory in? Well, that means that there are going to be some things you're going to have to get untangled from and see it from God's perspective and do it God's way. And so we're going to talk a little bit about relationships over the next 6 or 7 weeks, because I believe that this is very vital and key for us, because some of us, if we're honest, we're probably too controlled by them. And then the flip side, some of us are probably not engaged enough in them. And so I want you to fill in the blank for me and fill it in this way. When it comes to relationships, I fear this. I fear this. And note, the notes are back there. You can put them up. And so what it is for you, fill in the blank. Because when it comes to relationships, everybody comes at it from different perspectives and they have a different ideology. A lot of it is because of what they've been through and what they've seen. They won't open up because of fear of. And a lot of times, it's fear of what happened to you when you didn't know better. But what happens when you do know better and you grow and mature? There's no longer that ability for you to hold on to that, or there shouldn't be an ability for you to hold on to that, because now you're grown and mature. So oftentimes God will bring you through seasons of your life just to show you, you don't want that, that was unhealthy, to show you now what is healthy and it's okay to get back into relationships. The reason why we entitled this series Play Free is because I believe that there are so many people who are not playing free, they're playing bound. And last week I gave you the example and I wrapped a band around my legs and I was running around the room trying to follow God. And it was hard for me to follow God because I kept tripping up because I was held by something at my feet. And I wonder what it is for us in here. What is holding us in our emotions, in our mind, that are locking us down to the possibilities that God wants to bring into our life? And it may not look the way you want it to look. There are some people in this room right now who God is asking to do some crazy things when it comes to the natural eye. And other people wouldn't be able to do it, but God said, I've called you to do it. I've called you to do it. In order to be an example to those who are looking in. And how many of you will be honest when you read the word, you read the New Testament and you're looking at what God did in the New Testament. There are some things that God asked his disciples to do that were crazy. They were crazy. There were some things that he asked his people to do that were outside the realm, the natural realm of possibility. Because anytime God gets in the equation, God does things outside the natural realm of possibility and logic. He's not going to ask you to do something that always agrees with your logic. That is not who God is. What you're seeing right now are some illogical methods in order to stop a spread of something. Okay? When God gets into it and God begins to get into the situation and begins to tether it a little bit differently, he causes you to look at it differently. So you don't walk around in fear, but you walk around in trust knowing that God's in control. So it's what you're tethered to that matters. If you're tied to people who are not walking the way that you're walking, you have a walk problem. You have a tether problem. You're tied to something that God may want you to let go of. Because how can two people walk together unless they're agreed on something? It's very difficult for me to walk this way and Malia to come up and say, I'm going to walk that way, because one of us is going to get hurt because we're not walking in the same direction. And I don't care how much you slice it or how much you pretty it up. If you are not like-minded and you're not walking the same way with someone, you are opening yourself up for some issues. And that is a problem in the body. All in the name of, I want to feel something. And because we rely so much on feeling that we neglect the leading of the Spirit of God, because when the Spirit of God gets in, he messes stuff up. He messes up the order of things. And we don't want the order messed up. Because if you mess up the routine and you mess up the order, that means it's going to cause you to have to do something different. Yes, it does. But we forget the fact that he bought your life and purchased your life with his blood. And so your life is no longer your own, but it is his. His. Isolation is a big killer right now. It's a big killer. I want to help you understand something about isolation. Isolation is okay for a season. For a season. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was led in on purpose to be tempted. Isolation is okay when it is filled with purpose. God never allows you to go into something haphazardly. It's for a purpose. Jesus was in a specific time frame that the Lord was using to get him ready to be released into ministry. But eventually, guess what? He had to come out of that season. When God leads you into something, his intention is for you not to get stuck there. But what happens is that we like getting stuck sometimes, and we put an anchor down into a season of trial, and God says it's time to move out of the trial, but we become so comfortable in it because we're isolated that it's hard for us to get out. And I can speak for myself. There are sometimes God had come in and pushed me out and said, you've been in here too long. Too long. How do I know you've been in here too long? Because psychologically now it's having an effect on you. The fruit that I was trying to bear in your life has been bore. And I need you to move out. You know, if you don't, oh, thank you, Lord. If you don't pick fruit at the right time, it spoils. If you leave it on the tree too long, it's no use. It just looks good. So what God does is he sends you in for a season to do the work so you can bear fruit and move out, because he knows that you have to get out and use the fruit that was bore, so it doesn't die in the vine. So when God does something in you, he does it for a reason. He says, if I send my word out, I'm going to accomplish what I want to accomplish in the word. It's going to do what I called it to do. But I haven't called you to stay isolated. Isolated. There were times in the New Testament, Jesus got away to spend time with the Father. That was every once in a while. Why? He had to get recharged and so that he can come back. But he always came back, didn't he? He always came back. And even when he finally left and he said, listen, I'm going, but don't worry, I'm sending another person. I'm sending the Allos Parakletos, another comforter. I'm not going to leave you. I've got someone who's going to do in my stead what I would do if I were still here. He said, I got you. So we got to be careful with this idea of, well, I'm an introvert or I'm an extrovert. We're going to hit that for a little bit. Okay, I'm an introvert, I'm an extrovert. You're an introvert and an extrovert when it comes to how you recharge. Now, we got this hybrid people today. I'm like both, you know. I'm both. So I don't really like to be penned as one or the other. I'm kind of like, you know, in certain situations, I'm an extrovert. If I like you, I'll come out. But if you're not, I'll stay hidden. Then you got to draw me out in this game I like to play. You know, and it's a cool game. Not really. It's not a cool game. And so we do that because we become comfortable in our own skin. And God tries to get us out of that being comfortable in our own skin so that we can be a conduit and a bridge to other people. See, that's why God has you where he has you in your certain spheres of influence, so that not only can you break down some of your stereotypes about people, but break down some of the walls that you build up, just about even about your own faith. Some of you right now are in some rough, rough job opportunities. And God has sent you there to help you. No, to help you so that you can see like he does. Because if we're not careful, what we do is we take a group of people that we like. Now, I like this group. This is group because they affirm me. They love me. They get me. And anytime God tries to get you out into another group who's not like that, it's hard for you because there's not as much affirmation. But there is a work that God is trying to do and a sharpening. Well, don't ask me to be sharpened. Then you're in the wrong line. You're in the wrong line. I have to be willing to be sharpened by someone else if I'm going to see God's will be done. I have to be willing because that's how God does it. I have to be willing to get in a situation where I might be challenged on something because that's how God performs his will. As iron sharpens iron, so does one man's countenance sharpen another. So what I'm saying is that it's not that you don't have boundaries, and we'll go over boundaries in several weeks. I'm not talking about opening yourself up to people and saying, listen, whatever you want, come in and take whatever you got. No, that's just weird. But I am saying that there has to be a willingness for you to step out of yourself in order for God to use you. There are certain things that God has stretched me in my life beyond what I thought I could bear because what God has called me to do. You know, it's easy. It would have been easier for me years ago just to get a blanket and lay down on the couch on TV and just watch TV and just chill. I can't do that no more for long extended periods of time because of the call that God has placed upon my life and what God has done. Those seasons are over. So what I'm asking you, what I'm telling you to do as God moves you forward into what he has for you, it's going to require more of you. More of you. No. Yes. More of you. No more. Yes. More of you. More of you. What does that mean? I'm going to stretch your ability to hold. And that means you're going to have to hold. Yes. Hold more. What does that mean, Lord? That means you're going to be involved with people and you're going to have to carry some burdens. Well, that's because that's what he asked us to do, right? Galatians, let's put that verse up on Galatians, Ellen. Chapter 6, verse 2, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. Wait a minute, God's going to ask me to partner with people. Yes, yes. What is the law of Christ? He summed it up. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is just like it. Love the neighbor as yourself. As yourself. So I have to love myself enough, and I have to be in a position where I'm healthy enough in order to be able to love and carry burdens. I'm not talking about succumb to the burden, because that's what people do when they want to be needed. I'm talking about help carry your burden with someone. That means that when there are people who are dealing with things, and they are, diagnosis, they're dealing with marital issues or relationship issues, that you can come alongside them and walk with them until things break. It doesn't mean you have to take on what they're going through and now it becomes a part of your life. It means walk with them until it breaks. That's why we do life together. That's why we do life. Because it's dangerous for you to sit on the sideline and tend to your own wounds. And let's not show a hands in here, but a lot of people, what they do is that in order to get better, what they try to do is, I want to heal in private, and I'm going to heal in private so that when I get out, I can show a picture to the world that I'm great. And they smile, and the gleam is there, but it's not real. But if you'll do the things that God has asked you to do, and you'll get around and embrace community, I promise you, you'll heal faster. I'm telling you, it is a lie from the enemy for you to get stuck in a cycle of where you are off by yourself trying to lick your own wounds. I got a dog every single day. Forgets who he is half the time I walk in the house or who I am. But without fail, I'll look over in the corner, he is cleaning himself. And we have people doing that. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you taking care of yourself. You need to. But don't try to fix everything about you before you get around someone else, because then there's no relationship that's built and people aren't really seeing the need to be in relationship with you. You understand what I'm saying? There is a need for you to be in relationship with other people. I'm not saying being needy to the point where you're like, I need you because like I'm not going to survive without you. But there is an element of survival psychologically, mentally, and emotionally about being around other people. Listen, one of the hardest things probably for a lot of people in this room to do over the last year was we were in that time frame about 10 to 12 weeks. Everything was online, online, online. And people were having a hard time connecting because you were doing it through screens. But something happened and changed where we said, you know what, that's it. We're getting back together and we're getting around community. And all of a sudden, people begin to change. Countenance began to change. Life began to change because we realized this person out there. And I like them. And there was more of an appreciation for that person because you realize that's what God created you to be in relationship with people. Isn't that what he told Adam in Genesis? He said, it's not good, not good at all for him to be alone. So I'm going to create someone. This is what I'm going to do. And make a helper who is just right for him, just right. And you may be saying to yourself, listen, I don't know if my husband's the right one. He's the right one. But sometimes we do that. God leads us to relationships and we question whether or not that relationship is right for us. Because it's not about you feeling good about the relationship all the time. It's about the work that's going on in that relationship. I tell people when we're in conversation with them, we talk about marriage oftentimes, and they say, listen, I love them. I said, that's good. I want you to talk to me in 10 years. And I want to hear them talk about what they think about their spouse now. They haven't gotten married yet. I'm like, that's going to change in about 10 years. Because you go into it with a mindset that says, man, it's the best thing ever. I can't believe whatever I do without you. And this whole process is, man, if I can't live if living is without you. And we go through all this stuff. And all of a sudden, like 6 weeks in, and we're like, man, I could probably live without you. I could probably live without you. Because I didn't get married because I needed someone I had to live with. I got married because God called me into a partnership because he had purpose in it. And the feeling dries out. But because the foundation's right, it works. It's about partnership. Life's about partnership. You connect with something every single day. You know that, right? You're connecting with something every single day. For most people, first thing they connect with when they get up in the morning. Ooh, what's happening on social media? First thing. We're screen crazy. Screen crazy. Not a lot has changed since at 8 hours ago, but we're screen crazy, wondering what's going on. We're connected to that. And because of our connections, it dictates how we feel and how we act. You don't think it does? It drives you to like certain things, to buy certain things. Because that's what marketing is. It drives you toward an appetite for something. And it plays on the appetite until you finally say, you know what? Yeah, that's what I need. I need another Louis Vuitton bag. I know I have one. I need another one because that one's worn out. I need another one. Because it plays on appetite. And we have a lot of people taking a bite out of it. And we can go a little bit further. That's where we get our news from. And you know you can trust it because of what it says. And what it does, if you're not careful, it begins to dictate the movement of your emotion and your belief system. You were good, right? You were good. But then all of a sudden, because of that weak area and everyone has it, it started to play on that one fear that you got. And that one fear now becomes bigger because of the what if. And if you're not getting your news, number one, from the Word, from what the Word says, it's going to be hard for you when you go look at the actual news to discern what's real and what's not real. So if you would just try something a little bit different and go Word first and then attack what's happening in the world, it'll change you. It'll change you. Because then you'll see like God sees, and then you'll be able to discern things that are really happening. And I told you last week, it's dangerous when someone really begins to discern things because they begin to call things out like they are, and it's not great all the time. And if you're going to be successful as a Christian, we're going to have to learn not to walk in the fear of man. I said this, I'm going to say it again because it keeps coming up. Because that's going to bring a snare to your life. And you won't be able to be who God's called. If we're calling about playing free, right? We're calling play free. That means that I can't be ensnared. And if I'm ensnared by the fear of man, I'm not playing free. I'm worried about your reaction. And if I'm worried about your reaction, I'm not really free. Because I can't really proclaim or say something the way it needs to be said because I'm concerned about whether you're going to like me or the backlash. You got to get over that. Jesus, he was handling backlash the whole time he was here. If you claim to be a disciple, number one, and you're not wanting backlash, wrong place, wrong time. Because there's going to come a time where you're going to have to stand up for what's right. He's going to drop you in the middle of a situation, and you're going to have to stand up for what's right. So, you know what? I don't believe that that issue is correct the way I see it. I see the gender issue this way. You do? That's the way I see it. And it's going to be an opportunity God gives you. Are you ready for it? If you're not playing free and you're worried about what everybody else is going to say, it's going to eat you up. Because you won't be free to be. You'll be concerned about what somebody else is going to do. And anyone who tells you that it's more fun to walk in fear and anxiety, they're lying to you. Talk to the people who are numbed up on meds so much that they can't feel anymore. That is a lie from the enemy. And that's what isolation does. It feeds on your anxiety. And if you'll just wake up out of that and say, I got to do something different. It'll change your perspective to know that God loves the whole world and there's stuff going on all around me and that if I'll just get out and start playing where God's calling me to play, it'll heal you quick. It'll heal you quick. I'm telling you, it is hard right now for some people to come out of hiding. Last year, some people say it was a gift. For a lot of people, it was probably one of the most difficult things for them to have to endure because it was already playing on, they were already anxious, they were already fearful, and this just exacerbated it. And now I got people, no joke, there are people who I see outside doing things actively, just bound up, still bound up because they're concerned. And they're concerned because they don't have the lifeline. But I would even say, and just be honest, there are some people I know who have the lifeline and are still very concerned. And that concerns me. Do you know that Jesus is not bound by anything? Not bound. Why is it for some of us to feel bound, it feels like prison? But for others, they feel like they're at home. It's because they don't realize the true nature, number one, that they have or that Christ died to give them and whose they are. If I belong to someone who's not bound and who's free, why do I have to walk bound and in bondage when that person himself is not bound, but he's free? And not only that, but died so I can be free. What pleasure does he have sending me back into bondage when he actually died to free me from it? It makes zero sense for someone to think of that process where it's like God just wants me to be captive to my own thoughts and my own emotions, and he wants me to eat my feelings, and he wants me to put on weight, and because he just knows it's better for me this way because God loves when I'm desperate for him. And that's a mentality that needs to change. Change it up. There are seasons of suffering. Yes, you're a Christian. Welcome to the club. Yes, there are things you have to go through. Yes, but not so that you can stay bound with stuff. Why? The cross is null if that's the case. It's null. Why would he die so that you have to stay the rest of your life stuck in an area of fear? It's a lie, and I'm over it. Because it's what God has really been speaking to me. Listen, if I created you in my image, and you're supposed to be like me, why would you want something else? That's why it's uncomfortable for me to be held by anything. Because of the nature of whose I am. If the nature of Jesus Christ is inside of me, it's uncomfortable to feel suffocated and bound by something because I don't serve a God who is bound. He's free. And if the Son sets free, I'm free indeed. So when there's, come on, if you're going to do it, just do it. That's why when something threatens that, it's uncomfortable for me because the nature's changed. As if God's saying, that ain't me. But we have a mindset that says, well, God wants me a little bit bound. A little bit. Just a little bit. Because that means I have a need for him. You're always going to have a need for him. Because even in your freedom, there's responsibility and there are boundary lines that God has set. God doesn't just let you do what you want. But the idea that you're not free because of some attitude or something that someone is trying to impose on you is a lie. I'm contained today, but I'm fired up about this. Because we do things in the name of Jesus that are not Jesus at all. He suffered one time in the body, the Bible. He suffered one time. Died on a cross. Got up. I'm going to call it 2 days later, Friday to Sunday, not three. Even though it is three. Don't argue theologically, okay? Got up. Not there, ever lives to make intercession for me. And my thought process is, well, I'm going to go back in the tomb because it's better in there. No, it's not. There's a reason why he got up. I want you to think about the darkest times of your life. The darkest times. Would you really want to go back to that time? Because they were the best times of your life. No one says that. No one says that. But what we do is say, well, you know, I guess it's better than freedom. I mean, because we like, what we do is we like to self-inflict because somehow it makes us feel better about ourselves, and we think that God reacts to that. Like, oh, well, if I come against myself, then God's going to react because that's faith. No, that's not faith. You're just bruising yourself. I present you two options. Life, choose that one. Choose that one. I'm telling you, Adam, choose that one. Sharon, choose that one. Why? There's freedom in that. Freedom. Side note, if you've ever been set free from something, it feels really great. Oh, man, it feels really great. So to think that God would want to put you back into something just because he's God, he can do what he wants, it's a wrong thought process. If the Son sets you free, you're truly free. Again, I don't feel free. Why? And it could be something that God's trying to work and get inside of you with. And a lot of times, Pedro, it has to do with our thought process, because we rationalize things that we go through and we try to intellectualize God into something that he's not. There have been times in my life, and just to be honest, I've been struggling with stuff, and I've taken it to God, and you say, you know, son, I already set you free from that stuff. I've already set you free. So what is it about myself that I'm picking it back up for? Because I feel like I have to carry the cross that he already carried. And somehow, if I carry it, I can do it better than he did. And so I'll put myself on, Lord, and I'll whip myself and I'll nail myself to the cross, because somehow it makes me feel better about myself, not realizing that you already did that for me. So if I will come in and just appropriate what you did for me, and I'll just take that and say, thank you, God, by your grace, I'm set free, and we're going to walk that healing process out, I'll be a lot better off than me having to nail myself up on the cross every single time something goes wrong. You're killing yourself over nothing. Because of what he already did. And if you'll just turn your eyes and remind yourself through the word of what he's done and rehearse God's goodness and what he set you free from, it wouldn't take you back. And even if it tries, no. No. And even when you feel yourself inflicting, that's enough. Because you know what it did to you last time. All it did was take me down a place I did not need to go at, and he had to come rescue me down from the depths. I don't want to go down that far again. I don't have to go down that far again, because you know what? He went down there for me. And if he can go down there for me and get me from there, he can get me from anywhere. That's why I know that I'm free, because of what he did. And then if he continues to do that for me, I know he loves me. I know he loves me. And that's his reminder to me, is I've already set you free. I don't feel it, but you know what? As I begin to do it, just like Forrest Gump did, and as I begin to run, those things begin to... For some of you, that's what it's going to take. Just start running the race. And as you start running it, guess what? Ooh, bitterness just fell off me. Ooh, that weight fell off me. Ooh, that abuse, I forgive you. It fell off me. All that stuff. And some are deeper than others. And as you begin to run, God said, we're going deeper. We're going to pull some other stuff out. And when you taste freedom, you're not going to want anything else. You're not going to want anything else. And anytime you try to threaten it, it's a problem for me. It's a problem. So that's why, as Christians, you have a mandate to stand up when you feel like your freedom is being threatened by someone who's already been defeated. You know he's... Oh, come on. You know, like, he's not free, right? Like, he's bound. There are certain things that he can do, he cannot do. And there'll come a time where it'll be over. And God is so good, every once in a while, he'll send him your way and just say, they groan. Just watch. They groan. And when Malia resists, God says, yeah, she's got it. That's how much God loves you. I just want to show you how far you come. So when that thing comes knocking and you say no to it, he says, you got it. You got it. And guess what? We're not going back. And so what happens is it enlarges your spirit to hold more of what God has for you. Because you can't hold what God has for you and be bound. You can't. It don't work that way. Because his weight is different than your weight. So you have to be free to move with the Spirit of God, and whatever is holding you has got to go. That's why we do what we do here. That's why it might seem a little unconventional sometimes, because it's not going to be like everybody else does it. It's trying to get you to a place of freedom. We do groups like Emotional Healthy Leader to help you get free from stuff emotionally so you can move on and stop killing yourself over stuff. Everybody stand on their feet if they could. Man, don't worry about coming up right now. I'm going to close out just on myself today. It's already an acoustic set today. Live, we're going to ride out like this today. And if we're not careful, what we do is we can miss out on God just because things aren't the way we think they should be. And here's the reality of it, guys. Here's the reality. Will they ever be perfect in your eyes? No. Probably not. But you know someone who's perfect who is. So if I can ride out this life being perfected, knowing that someone who's perfect already knows how the end's going to be, I can continue to ride out on it because of who's with me. And anytime the tendency for me to fall back into my old patterns, all I got to do is remember, nah, I beat that already. I got to go. And I'm trying to help you understand today, there are certain things that God's going to allow you to feel just to see how far you come. Just see how far you come. Because you got to stop regressing back and beating things that you're already beaten. Does that make sense to you? We do that sometimes. And I know it's quiet in here, but I think God's got our attention where it needs to be. You are no longer a slave to fear. No longer. No longer. If that is an issue for you, we have to see why. Why? And that oftentimes requires you doing some work. You got to do some investigation to find out why. Because I don't want to feel like I felt, I don't have to feel like I felt before. I've been delivered from that. I've been delivered. But you got to ask yourself, why am I still there? Why? But if there's something in your life that God's, and I'm not talking about anxiety. We all deal with anxiety, guys. Don't look at it. No one deals. We all deal with anxiety. I'm talking about fear that rises up, that grabs you in an area and cripples you. He didn't die for you to stay crippled there. There has to be something that is linked to so that it can, guess what, be untangled so that you can move. What would it be like if you could move in that area? That's the possibility that you have in him. Remember the one who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, right? Any possibility, he can do whatever he wants. What would it look like if you could run free there? It would change the game for some of you. So you'd walk into the enemy's camp and take back stuff, speak into things. You say, no, that's mine. I'll take that. You're a liar. And so you got to be dangerous. Some of you turn into Jim Carrey like liar, liar. You start telling the truth on everything. That's what you got to be careful. If you really want freedom, he'll give it to you, but there's a cost. There's a cost. Because then he's going to use you to speak that. And are you cool with it? I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. Because you got to be willing to be cool with it because he's worth following. And until you find someone who's worth following more than you or more than your Twitter feed, it's not worth it. But if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords decided that I was worth it for him not only to create me but to come get me, guess what? I'm going to follow that guy. Because I know what he did for me. I know what he's done for me. I know what he saved me from. And so if he continues to do that and that relationship continues to develop, what sin, what issue, what attitude can ever separate me from God's love? Nothing. It's on you, though, to receive it and declare it. You got to receive it and declare it. God, I got it for you. It's there. Just take it. And then when you feel yourself going back to, woe is me, take yourself out to, whoa, you're good. Well, you're good. Change your perspective. If the weapons that you've been given are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, use the weapons. We got them. Use them. What does that mean? Begin to worship God in your own house. Worship God in your car. Create an atmosphere for God to come down and do something in your midst. Speak the truth. When the lie comes in, recognize it. False. This is what really the issue is. Stand up for yourself. Don't allow the enemy to beat you up. If you continue to allow him to beat you up, he wins. But if you finally say enough, boom. It'll change. And that's what it takes, because he'll bother you. He'll bother you until you finally swing and say, you know what? That's it. I've had enough. And then it'll start to change. But if you sit there and say, nah, it's okay. Continue to hit me. It's great. I like the feeling. It'll be that way. And you'll continue to walk in fear. And no one will want to lock arms with you and say, yeah, let's do life. Let's do life. Because you're too. Stand up. No, stand up. Enough, stand up. When you feel yourself cowering, stand back up and say, man, I don't have enough strength. But guess what? Greater is he that's in me. I'm going to say it. Stand up. Church, stand up. Do what God's called you to do. Stand up. It might mean you got to swing. Swing. If you got to sing, sing. If you got to pray, pray. And God also has given you the opportunity to do it anytime it's needed. Not on Sunday at 10:30 only. Because when Monday hits tomorrow and that little voice comes inside and says, here we go, another week of work, it's going to suck. And you go in front of your boss and you're trying to live for God in front of your peers, and all of a sudden that little familiar spirit comes in and says, just do what they're doing. It's easier that way. You're going to have to fight. Say, you know what? I'm going to choose not to. Or if you choose, it's up to you. You always have a choice. No, you don't. Yeah, I do. And I promise you, if you choose the right thing, God will advance you. And it'll become easier next time. And listen, the more you win, the more God can promote you. And the more he can trust you into other areas. We got people in here, God's promoting and trusting in other areas because they're winning on certain levels. If God can trust you, guess what? You'll be promoted. But he trusts you in those little spheres. And if you do it right there, God will open it and you'll get something else. I mean, it's just the way it is, but you're going to be fought. But I believe that God wants you to play free. Amen. Lord, every hand up in this room, thank you, God, for everyone in here. Thank you for this day. It's a good day. You've made it. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad in it. Thank you so much for the love that you have for us. It never fails. Never. I thank you, God, that you go before us. You're behind us. You're all around us. Thank you for the people in here, Lord, that have said yes to you. I pray that they would continue to move on into what you have for them this week as they even encounter situations and territories that are unknown. Thank you, God, that you give them weapons this week to fight, that they're going to fight right this week. They're going to play free this week. Untangle them, God. Unhinge them. God, loose them from things that are holding them back. How many in here would disagree? You don't have to look at me. You can look at me if you want, but say, hey, there's some things that are holding me right now. I feel it. There's some things that are holding me. All right, I see it. Lord, for those that are struggling and they're being held, God, loose them this week. Thank you, God, this week for situations that are going to cause them to have to break out of that, break out of it. Thank you. As they say yes to you, you're going to advance them this week. And God, even as we go to the rest of the week, as our mind and is fixed upon you, I thank you for the training that you're doing, the process that we're in. Lord, we know that the best is yet to come, and we're excited about the good things that you have for us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Thank you, guys.